Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have nothing to give to God. For one thing, God created everything. It is already His to begin with. From the beginning of our lives to the end, and we are given life. In the same way, all that we come to own in this life is not ours to keep. God gives us the things that we possess to be stewards of them. So we begin with nothing, we live with things that were not our own, and we depart with nothing. We take nothing with us. It seems to be God's nature to start with nothing and then to give. Everything we know, from the trees to the animals, to outer space, to the core of the earth, everything was made out of nothing. God simply gave the word, and it all came to be. Secular society would have us look to our own strengths and our own talents to make the most of ourselves and to make a name for ourselves. And in terms of serving our neighbors, it is proper that we do so. It is proper to use our gifts and talents to the best of our ability in service of them. But that is the last way we would ever want to approach God. Luther wrote a lot on this topic. He often compared us to spiritual beggars, which is an apt way of considering our position before God. To demonstrate this, consider the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The one was a Pharisee, one of the spiritual elite of his day. He wore the right clothes, he did the right things, he was greeted in the marketplaces, and he thanked God for each of these things. The problem was that he did it in comparison to others. He bragged of his position before God. He bragged of those things that God had given to him as though they were his own. He was so glad that he was not like that tax collector over there. And then we have that tax collector over there. He knew his position before God. He knew that he had nothing to offer. He had nothing to give. He had no great talents to speak of. He had no great position to speak of. He couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. All he could ask was that God forgive him. This man, Jesus said, was the one to go home forgiven. That's right. The one who admitted to having nothing before God. This morning we'll continue to think about our nothingness and God's nature to give, as we find Jesus meeting his disciples at Galilee, as he had told them that he would. Upon hearing the word of the women, the apostles did go to Galilee. And while they were there awaiting the word of the Lord, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the other disciples say, "We'll go with you." Or at least some of them went. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." Did you hear that? Were you listening? They caught nothing. They spent an entire night waiting for fish. They had their nets going, and they didn't catch a single fish. And then to top it all off, this stranger on the shore calls out to them, "Did you catch anything?" And all they could answer was, "No, we didn't catch a single fish." How often do you find yourself feeling as though you have nothing to offer? Perhaps that doesn't happen to you too often. Perhaps you're a build yourself up from the bootstraps kind of person. You might have a variety of talents that you enjoy sharing with others. But before God, that kind of attitude will get you into serious trouble. Perhaps, though, the season of Lent showed you your position before God. You might truly, rightly, and understand, truly and rightly understand and confess that you are nothing. Nothing but a poor, miserable sinner who can only cry out to God for His forgiveness. Lent may be over for the year, but the lesson remains. We have nothing to offer before God. He owns it all, and what we do have and use is tainted by our sin. We find ourselves with the disciples only able to answer that we have nothing. Nothing to offer. While the disciples were not aware of who it was that was calling out to them, we also may not always be aware of it when God is teaching us the same lesson. And that means that the situation is ripe. It is the perfect time for God to demonstrate His willingness and His love to give what we need, to give what you need. After all, do you think the disciples had any clue what was about to take place in their lives? When His disciples acknowledged that they had nothing, Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Where there was nothing, Jesus gave more than could ever be handled. With a simple word, He directed the disciples to lower their nets. And instantly, the net became so full that it could barely be brought in. When this occurred, 1 John and then Peter realized the identity of that person on the shore. It is the Lord. They knew only He could offer such a powerful word. The same powerful word that He used in calling them from their lives as fishermen earlier. As with Jesus' disciples, when we hear the word of the Lord, we find that it does powerful things. When we hear the word of the Lord to do this or to stop that, as from the Ten Commandments, our hearts immediately convict us. It shows us that we have not been able to do those things the way that we should have. But what is more, when our hearts and our consciences convict us, we hear another word from the Lord, the words from the cross. Father, forgive them, and it is finished. Just as quickly as our sins convict us, we hear Jesus speak, and we know that our sins are totally paid for by His blood. Jesus gave up everything for you. And then, if I may be so bold as to quote the president from the Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Jesus retired. He went to Galilee to find the disciples and to tell them, "We can kick back and take it easy now. We can relax," and Jesus slept in for the next several days. He was getting ready to tell His disciples that they could take it easy now, right? No, St. John records a different picture for us. Even after giving it all up on the cross, Jesus appeared to His disciples a couple more times, and this being the third time, and was He resting? No, He was serving them. He already had the charcoal fire prepared for cooking the fish that He had them catch. As soon as John points out that the one on shore is Jesus, Peter puts on his outer garment, the one he had taken off to fish, and he swims to shore. And the others quickly follow in the boat, dragging on the net of fish. When they got on land, they saw the charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask Him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. No, Jesus did not retire. Instead, He served His disciples again. He gave them food to eat. This morning, He continues to serve. He has prepared the table with food and drink for you to eat and to drink, His very body and very blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. In this way, He gives you salvation He procured at the cross in physical and spiritual means. Nothingness may be the absence of anything, but it is also the best stage in which to meet your Savior, Jesus Christ. Out of nothing, the nothingness of sin, and no good works to present to Him, He provides you with all that you need for this body and life and for the next. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.